I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, you can check us out on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, presented by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Jason Bishop. Join us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's our pal Grant Paulson, co-host of Grant and Danny. You can listen to them at 2 o'clock today. What's up, Grant?
What's up, Junks? How are you guys this morning?
Good. So we had fun with the picture that you had tweeted yesterday with Terry and Adam Peters talking. If you had to caption that conversation, what would Grant Paulson caption it?
I don't think they were even talking much about the contract, but I guess, hey, it's time, man. Let's get to work whenever you're ready to pay me, would have been my caption. But I think this was Adam Peters checking in with Terry McLaurin. Like, he's a people guy, right? He's a people person. My guess is they've had conversations in the building. I have a hard time believing they haven't walked past one another in the hallway over the last couple weeks or something. So that was just another conversation that they've had. But I'll bet you there's some element of checking in. How are you holding up with everything? I know this is frustrating. Maybe checking on, hey, what kind of football shape do you think you're in? How close are you to being able to play when you get back, if you were to come back soon? I mean, are they actually pretending behind the scenes like this ankle's a thing in some way? I doubt it. But could he be asking about the ankle? Or do they just pretend at press conferences like the ankle's actually a problem?
But Grant, did you read the you know, they use AI now. They just not only have amateur lip readers, they have AI will lip read. And the one thing that they all seem to have in common is at one point, allegedly, Terry said, I just want to play ball. How do you interpret that?
I believe that. That's funny. I did not see any of that, but yeah, that's not surprising. All this technology is both incredible and in some way petrifying.
Totally.
And it's going to doom us all. But totally. Yeah, I could totally see that. I mean, if they're having a conversation where they're like, hey, we're getting closer, man. It's August 12th. Like, let's do this thing. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what he says to the media, too, right? He's going to give some type of very non-threatening, non-informative line to Peters as well, because it's not his job to negotiate. You see what happened in Dallas, too, Eric, right? Where supposedly Jerry Jones goes to Micah Parsons and tries to get a deal done without his agent around, and it blows up in his face. So they're not going to try to talk numbers or negotiate.
Totally.
I could absolutely see Terry just reiterating over and over again, hey, man, I love football. I want to play football.
Just get me
out
here. Let's
go play football.
Right.
Exactly.
But I will say this, and this is, again, these guys, like Jason in particular, rolls his eyes when I say this. I truly believe it's one of my best skills. I don't have many skills. I got like one or two. I think I'm great at people reading. That when I saw that, I didn't think like antagonistic. We want to knock each other out. But I also didn't think like high fiving. These are two best buddies right now. You know what I'm saying? It seemed there was
But they may not be like that even if he has a deal.
They might not. But I just sensed a little tension. Just the way the hoodie, the hands in the pot. It was a little standoffishness. I mean, I think it was fine. I'm not saying it was bad, but it was different than him like hanging around Jaden and hanging around even DQ and some of the coaches.
Which is totally expected in my opinion, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're in a massive contract standoff and your agent and CK are at odds and screaming at each other, you know, and you're at the radio station, you're not going to be sitting in his office high-fiving him, right?
100%. So,
I think that is probably true. The body language, I'm not a body language guy. I hate when people are like, he looks upset, he looks this. But he's got the hoodie pulled over his head. He's kind of slouched and walking. Yeah, he did not look like he was, you know, Mr. Happy-go-lucky. That having been said, he had a choice to not be down there yesterday. What was notable about yesterday to me was, Eric, he had not been at a practice like while it was going on at any point during any of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that fans weren't there, but there have been a lot of practices when we're out there and mm-hmm. fans aren't there. There's never been less fan access at practices than this year. And he made the decision to waddle down to the field. Now, I think the reason was this scrimmage that they did yesterday, that, which they really leaned heavily into, by the way, and like made a big deal,
was a
fun thing for the players. And there was a lot of trash talk in the building. And
yep.
they did a coin toss and they were giving something away to the winners. And I think he misses it. I think he was intrigued and wanted to see it and wanted to watch. And it kind of was cooler and more fun than sitting in the training room doing nothing, talking to the same guys for the 83rd straight day. So that tells me something, too. Like, he is itching. We knew that, but this is evidence of that. And he didn't have to be talking to Adam Peters. It could just be a, you know, nod and keep it moving. I think it's amicable enough. I guess this would be my point. I'll say this real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for him to sit out the season or week one or something, which I still don't think is a possibility.
I agree.
He has to have more venom and more anger and more animus and just more vitriol than almost every player that's held out over the last several years, because none of them actually are willing to go into the season.
Right.
And yesterday, to me, as he's talking to Peters, or previously when he's dapping up Harris or mm-hmm. hugging Jaden Daniels' mom or whatever, he does not come off like a guy that is so livid that he's going to hold out into the season in a borderline unprecedented move during this CBA.
Well, I agree. Yeah. And I think, honestly, it'd be career suicide when you see guys do this. I mean, largely, it just doesn't work. Like, if you start missing games, your career goes downhill. You don't have the resume laid. It just doesn't work.
And so, I don't know if this helps at all. It could be just making something up. But James Cook just re-signed with Buffalo.
Right.
I don't know if he got more than what he was asking. I doubt. He's probably got a little bit less. But he signed, and he was missing practice in Buffalo, and now he's out there, and he's got his new deal. So maybe that helps a little bit. I don't know.
Do you think the fact that it seems to be, you've been out there, but it seems to be the theme from listening to Keim and everybody that's out there every day, standing all your buddies, right? It seems to be that the offense has had the better of it. That may be normal, right? Like, I don't know. What is it in baseball? Pitchers usually have better of the hitters or whatever it is early in. But it seems like the one thing people are noticing is the lack of depth at receiver. Not a lot of production yesterday, apparently, in the Burgundy and Gold game. Obviously, not a lot of in the joint practice. Is this helping Terry's negotiating at all? A dollar's worth? Is it helping him for pennies? Is it helping it at all?
It can't be a zero.
Yeah.
That in their first preseason game, Chris Moore drops two passes and KJ Osborne drops two passes, and you know the veteran receivers in the room basically don't show any ability to make plays. It can't be a zero. Do I think it's going to change their negotiational tactic, or Adam Peters walks into Brandon Sostin's office, who's doing the contract, and says, get this thing done? No. But like, it's also overstated when I had a bunch of people, you know, blowing up my timeline suggesting, like, well, these receivers don't matter at all. Who cares if they're dropping passes? What are you talking about? Right now, Terry McLaurin's not on the team. So until he is, you don't count him on the receiver room. Noah Brown's been hurt for weeks. By the way, Noah Brown is always hurt. Noah Brown is not a Texan because he got hurt a lot. Noah Brown came here and had an injury initially. Mm-hmm. Noah Brown finished last year unavailable to play with a lacerated spleen. Noah Brown got hurt in minicamp. Noah Brown's hurt now in training camp. So everyone's just like, well, Noah Brown will be back. He'll be your number two. Until he isn't, possibly. Like, that is the book, right? Debo I don't view as this traditional receiver, although mm-hmm. he'll line up at receiver plenty. But my point is, when you go out to practice, yesterday I'm watching practice, you know who's running at number one wide receiver a ton?
I'm afraid
Luke
to
McCaffrey
hear it.
Mm-hmm. And KJ Osborne.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, when I was at number, you know, basically on the first team starting offense for the first 10 days of training camp, Chris Moore got as many first team reps as anybody not named Debo Samuel and Luke McCaffrey, the guy that dropped the two passes in the preseason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it might very well be true that he is the wide receiver 6 or 5 or whatever when their plan comes to fruition in 3 weeks. But for right now, on their first rep of an 11-on-11 or yesterday's fake game that they played, KJ Osborne is opposite Luke McCaffrey, Debo Samuel's in motion, and Jaden Daniels has had the worst practice I've ever seen him have, which is not a big deal, but it's also related.
Yeah.
He was sub 50%. They were constantly throwing incomplete passes to covered receivers. He was the least sharp he's been. By the way, the offense got absolutely dominated yesterday. Barely got first downs, couldn't get across midfield, didn't score a point. I'm not overly concerned about that, but your point is, does any of that matter? And I would say, how could it not, at least, if you're Adam Peters, confirm your prior that you're probably not good enough at receiver if McLaurin and Brown aren't available to you. And right. We are now 3 weeks away from a real football game.
That's why they need each other.
It's got to happen soon.
They need each other.
Something's got to happen, or it's not going to happen at all. He's just got to play on the deal. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
So maybe yesterday was a trigger, and Peter says, all right, you know what? We're terrible at this position. And like Grant said, we can't rely on Noah. So maybe they just get a deal done here in the next week.
It'd be nice.
It would be.
Let me ask you about the defensive side of the ball. Listen, I'm optimistic about this team, despite it. It actually seems like we're getting kind of like not amazing early reviews, you know, for a season that I'm excited about. We're also distracted with the Terry stuff. But a big question mark for me, and I think for everyone, is Lattimore. Jason is telling me that his source is telling that Lattimore's looked great so far. I haven't heard that. I haven't heard otherwise, but
it might be just his opinion.
Yeah, but he might be looking a little better.
We haven't heard bad things about
him. No, I haven't. I just haven't heard a lot about him. What have you noticed with Lattimore? Because you know he could be the first swing and miss, in my opinion, unless he gets a lot better.
I agree with whoever Jason's talking to. I mean, Lattimore's had a really good camp. Okay. And looks healthier and like he can turn and run better and move better than he did last year. Now, I'll be honest. He should look really good when he's going up again. Like, he's rarely defending Deebo Samuel the way that the alignment structured and the motion and all that stuff. So most of the time, it's him against either a Luke McCaffrey or one of these veteran Jags to be named later. So that's kind of my big question with the corners in general. They've had an excellent camp.
Mm-hmm.
They look really good. Like, I have been blown away by that position group. Is it because it's a tell that this receiver room is just not very good, or are they a lot better? I actually think it's both. Lattimore's been, I would say, very solid, had a good camp. The guy that's been fantastic is the rookie Trey Amos.
Right.
I love this kid.
Yeah.
People saw a very little bit of him in the preseason game. You'll see him hopefully more against the Bengals. But he was targeted on a throw into the end zone from the high red. Great coverage. Had a nice play where he was a willing physical tackler at the line of scrimmage. In practice, constantly draped over top of receivers. Again, probably benefiting maybe from who he's running with. But sometimes it's Deebo. You know, sometimes it is. KJ Osborne has had seasons in the NFL. So, like, those two guys on the outside with Sanders still on the inside, that's a pretty good trio if Lattimore holds up. And by the way, Sanders still in that scrimmage that they did yesterday. The first two passes from Daniels, which were incomplete, I mean, he had pass breakups. He was basically all over Deebo Samuel on short and intermediate stuff. I think Sanders still could legitimately be excellent. Like, he could be a star nickel corner. The reason they drafted him in round two was to play that position. So now you've got a guy like Noah Igbinoghene, who had one of their better games against the Patriots in the preseason, who last year at times was like a number two, number three corner. Now he's fourth or fifth on the depth chart. They've shoved everybody down by adding multiple pieces here. Jonathan Jones didn't play in the scrimmage yesterday, but is a pretty solid veteran who's had a good camp. So I think it's their most improved position, honestly.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Who looked good on the second team offense, Hartman's offense?
You know who had the best day on the second team offense was Demetric Felton, the running back who led them in rushing attempts and yards.
Yeah.
We were talking about this on G&D yesterday. So think about it this way. Their running back room, guys, is basically like a starting rotation with a bunch of fourth starters. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They don't have a great running back. I will acknowledge that. But they are deeper with Jag type, like NFL caliber running backs than they've had in a while in this sense. Brian Robinson. Eckler is really good in his role. This kid, Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, everybody's talking about, is going to make the team. Chris Rodriguez averaged 5 yards a carry in his career so far, plays well whenever he plays. I don't think there's a big gap between him and Robinson. He probably doesn't make the team. Jeremy McNichols last year played a ton, was one of their better players in some games. He may not make the team if they don't keep four. And then you've got Felton, who's played in the NFL, been on fantasy teams, who led them in rushing in the preseason, who was maybe the best player on the field in terms of stats in this scrimmage game yesterday. So they got five guys for three or four spots. They're going to cut veterans that end up getting carries somewhere.
What about, we keep asking people, what about Kinlaw? Because I feel like he's kind of a pivotal piece of the defense. I haven't heard much.
So it's been very quiet on him, I would acknowledge, but I think that's maybe the plan. My guess is they've brought him in here. And they, by the way, it's so funny to me that they're so worried about paying Terry McLaurin a few million too much.
I know.
And the contract they gave Javon Kinlaw. Still, when I talk to people, like all these national folks
exactly.
that come in to cover the team for practice for a day, they're like, I don't know, man. That makes
sense. I can't believe they gave him that much.
Yeah.
But having said that, I think their plan is they had to get better stopping the run. Saquon Barkley is the key to the king, has the key to the kingdom for the Eagles and is the team that they're chasing. And they're going to basically ask him to be like a smart car in the middle of the formation. Like, I promise you guys, he's the biggest person I've ever seen on a football
field. That's what everyone says.
I mean, you can't, like, it's almost embarrassing to say, but, like, he walks past you and you kind of go, holy crap, like, yeah. That's a huge human being. Yeah. So I think they're just going to ask him to take up space, take on blocks, be a space eater so that Payne and Newton can actually pass rush and get up the field. And I say that to say, like, that's not sexy. You're not going to notice that very often. And that's probably what's been happening. But he's not a guy that has flashed or stood out to me a ton. There have certainly been times where he's gotten into the backfield for a TFL or he's gotten a pressure that maybe could have been a sack if they blew a whistle. But he's been quiet. I would say of the new guys that they brought in defensively, the guy that I think that's really stood out, and I thought he was awesome in the scrimmage game yesterday, was the safety Will Harris from the Saints.
Mm.
I wonder if he can cover a little better than Jeremy Chinn. You know, the way that they're deploying him and using him, it seems like he runs with guys in the middle of the field more. The book on him was, this is a thumper, this is a physical, violent hitter, a guy that is one of the most, I hate using the word feared, but like the players that everyone knows just doesn't give a bleep and will pay the fine basically in the league. He actually had a play in the scrimmage yesterday on the sideline where Michael Gallup was trying to catch a pass that had been broken up by Amos and was like popped up in the air. And Gallup's like got his toes down just inside the chalk and he's bringing in the ball and Harris comes and eviscerates him and the ball goes flying. And Cliff Kingsbury, who was essentially playing head coach yesterday in this scrimmage, comes over and he's like, Will, we don't need that. We don't need that. Okay. Like, he can't even, on a game like yesterday, he can't even hold himself back. But he's been really good. Like, he had a couple of huge moments yesterday in the scrimmage where I said, all right, this guy might be able to play a little bit.
During the scrimmage, would Quinn go out there and stop play and I don't know, teach or coach and no. Point out certain things, or did they just stay off the field?
Jason, it was super cool. It was like, I'd imagine, I've never been to one. I'm sure you have. It was like a spring game for college.
Yeah.
So basically, like, different colored jerseys. They did a coin toss. Everything was authentic to a game. The only time they did anything that was not, like, game situation. I mean, I've quite literally never seen a team have, like, that legitimate a game with each other was there was a fourth down play at close to midfield where Daniels threw an incomplete pass on, like, a middle-of-the-field dig to K.J. Osborne, and the referees ruled it incomplete. And Dan Quinn came out and challenged it and pretended like it had been overturned, probably because the offense literally couldn't get a first down or stay on the field. Then they got a new set of downs and immediately went three and out after that. But that was the only time where something happened where you're like, what was that? Like, that wasn't a football game. Everything else, it was – and the other kind of quirky thing was, and maybe not surprising – nobody ever punted. It's like fourth and 10, fourth and 12.
Going for it, yeah.
As long as they were past like the 40-yard line, everybody was going for it, which was kind of fun. But
well, Trent barely punted last year.
What's that?
Trent barely punted last year.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of going for it on fourth down as it is because you got the cheat code and Jaden Daniels. But I love that Dan Quinn's idea on this thing was to let some of the assistants – mm-hmm. execute the play calls. So Tavita Pritchard, the quarterback's coach, was the OC on one sideline, and then you had Brian Johnson, the former OC play caller of the Eagles, on the other sideline. And you could tell he was having fun. They ran a hook and ladder by design, like a Ben Johnson hook and ladder in the high red that worked, which was cool. They ran a speed option. I think those guys had a lot of fun getting to actually call plays.
And they're off today, right? And then back at it tomorrow. Right.
Yeah, so no media access today. They've got a long break. The reason they even did this was when the schedule came out, they knew they were a little bit screwed. So they got that Friday night New England game and then had to wait all the way to Monday.
Monday, right.
So Dan Quinn was super worried about just the monotony that sets in and not – you're supposed to be ramping this thing up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they came up with this plan to have this kind of de facto game yesterday. And then, yeah, they'll be back working out at the facility through Saturday. Sunday will be closed, and then Monday Night Football with the Bengals in town. And Cincinnati supposedly is going to play their starters a ton in that game, which will be cool.
They're trying to flip
I'm hoping we see a lot of starters for Washington.
Me too. I'm skeptical about any length for the starters. Like, what do you guys think? I mean, I personally would love to see the offense and Jaden Daniels play for a few quarters.
I would like to see a quarter.
Well, you know, I was convinced, exactly. Grant, I don't know who it was explaining it, probably Keim. I know we got to go break, but that, you know, Brady and the Patriots, they always use controlled scrimmages, right? Or whatever they call those things. Not, you know,
joint practices
to get Brady the rep so he wouldn't get hurt, right? And so If Jaden did great reps, don't they have one more controlled or what are they, joint practice? I keep getting those confused.
Yeah, they're going to do it with Baltimore coming
Yeah,
up.
So maybe that's just what they do, and I'd rather see it myself, but they all say those are better.
They're certainly more helpful for the coaches because you can dictate what happens. Mm-hmm. If you want Jaden to work on red zone, goal line, you know, any sequence like that, you can dictate that you do rather than a game where it may not happen. And you can control that nobody's touching him, which is obviously huge. So, yeah, I get why they prefer the joint practices.
And we got to go, Grant. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go for it. No,
I'm sorry.
It.
I went too late.
It's our pal Grant Paulson.
Thank you.
You can listen to him 2 o'clock, giving us his account from what went down yesterday at Commander's training camp, our training camp coverage, presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1. On the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right there at the end of our conversation with Grant Paulson, he brought up the Bengals and how the Bengals plan to play their starters. I believe Joe Burrow in the first preseason game for Cincinnati threw 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with Cincinnati is they're trying to flip the script because they have been notorious slow starters under Zach Taylor. Believe they've started 0-2 in 4 of their last 5 seasons. Of course, they missed the playoffs last year, and they're trying to change things around. How many do you have a number on series? How many series do you want to see Jaden Daniels in the first team offense on the field? If you want to chime in, you can give us a call at 1-800-636-1067. You know, you did mention a quarter, but let's say they crush it on a drive. EB, I'll ask you this. If the Commanders have Jaden Daniels on the field and they put together one of those signature drives like they had last season where they would have the ball for 7 minutes and it would be a 15-play drive and it would end up with a touchdown pass to Zach Ertz or whoever.
Oh, I don't think you would see him again in the rest of preseason.
Right.
Now, I don't even know. I'm conflicted about the whole thing because I'd like to see more. But like I say, the joint practices... The coaches see what they need to see. They get all the looks. The preseason games really are for the backup positions.
And there's no urgency in the preseason game.
They don't show anything. It's all vanilla. More vanilla than even like the joint practices, right? Like it's going to be so vanilla. It's not. I don't even know what it's really worth. They're kind of a joke. I feel like the preseason has become a bigger joke than ever.
But
as
I still
far as starters.
But I yeah, you're right. But I still want to see them for a couple of series. Just because it's live, you know, we didn't get to see the joint practice. It's treated a little differently. Look, I mean, you're risking getting hurt even in practice. I mean, the odds of getting hurt are pretty low if you're only going to play a couple series.
Sure.
So I would say I would like to see them. And I would think in a quarter you're going to probably get 2 series. If they had a long 12-minute drive,
well,
of course.
Describe, yeah, they're not going to see it. You won't see it.
I don't want to see them early second quarter.
I mean, what do I want to see? I want to see him play the whole game? I want to see everything. But,
of course.
I mean,
but you know like, they're not going to play in the third game, so I'd like to see a little bit of it in the second.
No, I understand. But again, the X factor is they're seeing them, A, every day in practice, and B, in the joint practices,
mm-hmm.
right? Where they're really getting to different looks and kind of showing more, and it's more controlled. They can see what they want to see exactly. These preseason games, you could go out there and have a couple 3-and-outs and get nothing out of it. You know what I mean? How many times have you watched a preseason game? 9 times out of 10, leave disappointed. Like, that was a dud. I have nothing there.
I do think there is some value, particularly on offense, to build a rhythm and to build some confidence. And I think that's what the Bengals are trying to do because they feel like, hey, we've had these slow starts. I don't know if it's because the offense didn't produce
They're
in the first
everything.
2 weeks.
They're trying everything different. Anything we could try, right, get off to a better start.
But I do think there's something to building a little momentum and confidence heading into the season. Like, I wouldn't hate them playing in the third game. Like, I know that they just don't do it anymore.
Right.
It's changed over the years. But, you know, you mentioned Brady. Brady used to actually play a lot in the preseason.
Well,
I mean, he had a huge, long career. I'm sure there are some seasons where maybe he didn't as much.
Yeah.
But they used to give him reps.
Yeah.
It's just changed. It just seems like preseason is the biggest joke it's ever been. It's just hard to take it seriously.
I know. It is. But we clamor for it for the
most of June and most of July. Well, you clamor for football. And you're ready for preseason.
So you at least want to see something.
Just because it kicks off everything. But at the end of the day, it is a joke.
But if you know Sam Hartman is starting on Monday night against the Bengals, I mean, there's no point in watching.
Guess how many? I actually do like to watch a little of that, actually.
Guess how many attempts?
But you'd rather watch your starters.
I would, but it's also, still, you don't see much. And they're not nearly as good.
I know, I know.
Guess how many attempts Tom Brady had. I just pulled up a random year.
Mm-hmm.
2010.
Well, that's a long time ago. 15 years ago.
Okay, but it's kind of the middle of his career, right?
I would say 25 attempts.
50.
Yeah.
He had 50 attempts in the preseason. He threw 5 touchdown passes with 1 pick.
That's a lot. No one's going to ever do that in 2025. No, unless maybe
you'd be lucky if you
maybe
get
a rookie.
You'd be lucky if you get 8 pass attempts from Jaden Daniels in the preseason. Yeah.
I would amend your stance, not that like preseason all of a sudden is like more meaningless than ever. It's more meaningless for quarterbacks ever.
Sure.
Like,
I mean, it's super meaningful for the backups in the
not just backups, but you know, special teams. You got to see Bill, like your first real action of Bill. You got to see your rookie lineman for a couple of snaps.
You do get to see them, but I'm not sure you can glean much from it. You're right. They put them out there, so I watch. But I'm not sure what I get from it. Because they're playing against or they're playing against teams above. Like,
yeah, I know. I get the sample sizes down, but it's not like they're running out a bunch of replacements. You know what I mean? Or scabs from a strike team out there and just wearing the jerseys. Well, you're seeing something.
But like, yes, I would argue when you sit out 30 Valdez, a lot of those are going to be like practice squad guys or guys that never really play.
If Bill broke off a 80-yard touchdown run,
it would be
the talk of DC, the talk of the show.
Totally.
So you can't just
it would
negate
be.
his carries.
Well, no, I told you I liked what I saw.
I know, but you can't just say that the preseason is more meaningless than ever when there's some things you would get meaning from.
Listen. I watch it till the end, but I don't know what the real utility in it is. I don't know.
It's an injustice to these quarterbacks. You're right. It has changed. So I just punched up 2018 New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady had 44 passes. That's not that long ago.
Some teams just have a different view of it. I mean, if you look at the starting quarterbacks who played in week one, I don't know, it's about half of the starting quarterbacks.
No, for sure. But they didn't play a lot.
No, they played one series, maybe two.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw Drake May. Drake May played 2 series.
No, if to Valdez's
and if he didn't fumble on the first series, if that was a long series, you know, 8-minute drive and they kicked the field goal, he's probably out.
To Valdez's point, I hear what he's saying. Like if Jalen Lane had a punt return for a touchdown. Okay, that's great. That's what I want to see. But I think those guys see most of that stuff in the practices anyway. I guess there's something to be said for doing it under the bright lights.
They see it. We don't see it.
They see it. We don't see it. I agree with that.
Look, if they played Laremy Tunsil on Monday night and he tears an ACL, everyone's going to kill Dan Quinn. Why are you playing your left tackle
Maybe.
In a meaningless preseason game? But
Slater went down in practice.
That's what I'm saying. You can get hurt in practice.
I don't even know if I would kill him.
Yeah, I don't think
If you play a long time, then I might kill him. But if you play a starter
I know. People are going to say, why are you playing your studs? It's preseason. But fans do want to see these guys play, especially the new guys.
Yeah, of course.
But the Commanders fans would rather see Terry McLaurin in practice than, you know, Laremy Tunsil in a game, in a preseason game.
Yeah.
But just as a fan, as a football fan, I'd like to see, especially a radio host who talks about this team 24/7, I want to see some of the starters, at least for a quarter or quarter and a half, so I can kind of get a vibe on it.
Well,
especially the guys like Debo, who we haven't seen yet,
Yeah.
Only in practice.
I'll tell you this. As just guys that are only getting information secondhand and we're only seeing glimpses here in the preseason stuff, I hope this is closer to like an 81 season, 82 season than it is. I feel like we're underperforming compared to my expectations. Again, this is all meaningless, but it's like I'm excited, I'm hyped, I want this to be a big year. I want us to score 30 or more. I would say, like, we're gonna score 28, 29, 30 points a game. That's what we did last year. We're only gonna be better. But so far, all the reports are the offense is just not clicking yet, and you know, gets to be a little bit. I'm a little bit uneasy, although there's probably no reason to be. But if I was concerned. To be honest, I'd say, yeah, I'm a little bit uneasy because we're not hitting on all strides offensively yet, according to the reports.
Yeah, but you're going against a defense that knows you, and you don't know what the offense is trying to accomplish.
I agree.
What I would most think about is that Detroit game. And even the Eagles game where they got smashed, the offense did their part, just the defense could not do anything. The offense had turnovers.
On the flip side, you should feel good that the defense is really playing well against the offense.
That is encouraging me.
Because
I do feel good about that.
Yeah. Because I know you had question marks about a bunch of those guys.
But I also did, honestly, to be fair, I did assume the defense was going to be better, like pretty big jump. Let's say, I don't know, where did we rank last year defensively overall? Like in terms of yardage or just one of the big metrics.
Remember, the rushing stats were horrendous.
So I feel like we could jump to like 15. Like I feel like we were at the bottom. If we could jump to like 15, that would be a big jump.
I think they were about middle of the pack in terms of yards, but I can check.
On the whole?
Yards allowed, looks like they were 12, 13-ish. Points per game, is that what you want?
Yeah, points per game. Give me that one.
Points per game, they were middle of the pack at 23.
Feels like they were worse. I feel like that's worse.
Maybe, but they were 30th stopping the run.
30th stopping the run. So if we could get up to like 15 stopping the run, that would be like a market improvement. Yeah. I'm kind of assuming that we're going to.
You know, the crazy thing is, even though we knew they had a lot of secondary issues, they finished third against the pass in terms of yardage. That's just because
everyone
teams
ran
would
on
pound,
them.
Right. Pound the football.
Why would you
them.
Don't need to bother passing.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
And
to
they played some bum bad quarterbacks. That's
true. All right, I guess we can't pick out the calls.
800-636-1067, though. We can come back, take some of your calls. Of course, you can always tweet us at Junks Radio. We're the Junkies on the Fan.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not gonna name the guy, but I was just in the bathroom, and we have four stalls in the bathroom, and I knocked one out during the break. I picked the third stall, and we got a guy here that's a nice guy, but he's not sort of in the little circle here, so I don't feel like I can break his balls. He came in and sat in the second stall right next to me. That's literally criminal behavior. Like, why wouldn't you?
Maybe
it's
he just
obvious
did.
You go in the first stall. Like, you don't go in the second one right next to me.
Maybe that's just his lucky stall.
Maybe those stalls were messy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I know. But
maybe that's the one
like
he always goes
in. Particularly clean this morning, so it's possible the first one was a poop show. But I didn't hear him, like, knocking down doors, like, checking. Like, he just came right into the second one. And I was like, whoa! What are we doing here?
It could have been round two, and he's checked them beforehand, and he knows that's the only clean one.
All right, it's possible. It's possible. But if I told you who this is, I'll tell you during a break, I think you'll agree with me that this is just a different guy. It's not Roger, but it's just a different guy. I just think.
Well, it can only be a couple different guys.
Yeah.
There's like eight people in here in the studio.
Right.
Well, in the office.
I mean, I really don't want to say the person.
I think I know. Do you know the guy's name?
Yeah, I know the guy's name. I know the guy's name. I actually can't confirm it. I'm only confirming it based on shoes. And this person, he's not somebody that likes to wear like nice shoes. Like, or, like
He doesn't like to wear nice shoes.
In other words, most people in today.
What's he wearing? Just tennis shoes?
I don't even like clean shoes. Oh. Like he's wearing shoes that look like they were 5 years old. Like,
is it someone?
He'll tell you.
I can't say it because he's not in the circle, and I don't know. He doesn't get radio.
This guy doesn't get radio shtick.
He doesn't get radio. He's not a radio person per se, like that way. And so I don't want to hurt his feelings. He said I have a great cordial relationship with him when I see him. Like we're very cordial and nod and what's up. You know, hey, have a nice day.
I'm just trying to think. So, you know what I mean? There aren't that many people on the floor.
I know. I'll tell you during a break, and you'll understand who. But the point is, and I'm basing it only on shoes. Like most people around here. They take pride in their shoe game.
Uh-huh.
Even it's not that you're wearing like some fancy shoes or something, but you just wear like clean shoes. Most people, right, in 2025, they like to have like clean shoes. Wouldn't you say, on average?
Can you write it down for me?
Oh my God. All right, give it to me. give me a thing.
You got a pen over there?
There's a Baldwin brother whose name is the same.
Hold on. Like, are you talking about this person?
Yes.
I know.
I don't think that's him.
Oh, really?
I think it's they hired another young. I don't think that person.
All those guys must not have any pride in their shoe game.
I don't think everybody's so into having the person brand you new think shoes.
It is. It's clean. Most people wear clean shoes. So, you know, when they're being presented.
The person you think it is, I don't think he's here yet. The other person, like I said, I didn't confirm.
I just based it on shoes, and I said that those look like what that guy would.
You know who I'm talking about, Trev?
Yeah.
But that guy's pretty well dressed. I don't think he would have nub shoes. The new
these were like.
But when I walked out
like
there,
he mowed his lawn in the shoes, and then he probably went out and he probably dug a ditch in the shoes.
All right, you know what? During the break, I'm gonna go because I think I know who it is.
Investigate.
Yeah.
I think
black
I know who
shoes,
it is.
Black sneakers.
Okay.
Last week I went.
They might have been white, but now they're black. I don't know
the guy's name, but
you're killing the guys. Just shoes. I mean,
they're just sloppy and dirty.
Last week I went up to the private roof to use the bathroom up there.
Oh, you still do that bit?
Every once in a while. Every once in a while, I mix it up. If I want to loaf a little bit,
yeah, right.
And upstairs. There's only two bathrooms. There's two single bathrooms. Mm-hmm. There's a men's and a women's.
Mm-hmm.
So I go into the men's room,
mm-hmm.
and I open the door, and someone goes, I'm in here.
Wait, what? They didn't lock it?
They didn't lock the door.
Right. This happens with my mom in the bathroom sometimes.
And I go, okay. And I go, lock the door next time.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, hey, shut up.
Wow.
Oh, really? Wow.
And I go, what? What was that escalated quickly.
Yeah.
And then I see...
Well, you did kind of scold him.
Well, it was like a joke. I said it in a joking way. I was like, hey, lock the door next time.
Right.
And then I go to my guy...
Carlos.
No, Ivan, the maintenance guy here.
Okay.
And I'm like...
Who is that?
I go, who's in the bathroom?
You know who Ivan is.
And he goes, oh, that's Carlos.
Carlito.
Carlos was screaming shut up at me. He didn't know who I was. Just screaming at some guy at the other side on the other side of the door.
Was he also being funny? Like you think? Because Carlos is a funny guy. No.
Why
he
is Carlos
really
using the second floor bathroom?
What privacy?
No, a private roof.
No,
JP.
Not the second floor.
Okay, I misheard.
People go. The only thing that's unsettling about the private, you got to take the special elevator to get up there, right? That I know of.
Yeah, it's
and then you're out.
The rooftop.
Literally, you're out on the roof, and I'm a little bit. I get a little jiggy.
I've never been outside.
Oh my God!
I don't like it. Because you're outside and it's like, I could just sprint right off this thing. That's how my brain works. So I don't like being up there.
That's ridiculous.
Kind of thinks about jumping off buildings more than anybody.
That's when people have a fear of heights. You don't understand. People have a fear of heights.
I have a fear of heights.
You can fall
50 feet from the edge.
It's scary. Yeah. It's scary to me. I don't like being up there.
Oh my God.
Because they don't have a very high, they have like a glass thing.
Guardrail?
Right? Guardrail. I think. Last time I've been up there, I haven't been up there in years.
Mm.
Carlos is yelling at you? Why isn't Carlos locking the door?
He's
disgusting.
He gets. Yeah. I see him yell at people.
Yeah.
Oh, he does.
Yeah,
he gets better. He has a temper.
Downstairs in the lobby, he likes to run the show.
And what
he doesn't like people walking by him without checking in. He gets pissed.
Well, think about it. He's the head guy here, and I told him to lock the door.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true.
In his stinky dump.
I guarantee he's got some real messy ones.
It was butt stinky.
Carlito.
It had to have been, right? Oh, did you go in the ladies? Because you go to the ladies. Like,
and then I went to the ladies one.
Yeah. All right, let's pay a couple.
Yeah, let's take
calls.
Some calls.
Let's go to James in Tysons. James, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey guys, I love your show.
Thanks, man.
Real quick, I'm an old school guy, season ticket holder for 30 years, but I'll tell you, for me, it's just two series. I'll walk you through real quick. One is just they're lining up. They're kind of like ready. They're doing the cadences. They're going. Hopefully, the outcome would be good. But my hope is on the second series that they have it drive, whether it's a field goal, touchdown would be great. And they just have a chance to kind of like coordinate. And I'll tell you one thing that I don't know if folks are really thinking about is when Jaden Daniels goes out in practice and looks at his receivers, he's not stupid. How many catches have been subtracted by one of our three top receivers last year? Zacchaeus, Crowder, my gosh, the other guy. He's looking at this and going, you know what? I need to be a leader. I need to bring these people together, and I need to do something just so we can go into the season feeling like we've checked the box and that I'm a leader and I can lead this group of receivers, whoever they may be, to success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I also think that when you have a new guy like Debo, who you're going to have to rely on, especially if, and I think Terry's going to be there, but if he's not there early in the season, I think you want to see them in game action.
One thing,
not just in practice.
Somebody is just sending it to me that I guess Linnell said yesterday, and Linnell's out there all the time. I give him credit. He's out there. He said that reportedly, according to Linnell, that Jaden and Terry are like after practice working in the bubble. So nobody can see.
Good.
They're getting reps in after practice. It kind of makes sense.
Good.
Because you could go to some high school field and work. That ain't the same. But you go in there in the bubble with Jaden and you knock some work out. That makes some sense.
Also, you're not being seen
away
in the
from
bubble.
The media.
100%.
Yeah.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. We're the Junkies. Be right back.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.